Good morning. It's good to be here with you today. As we prepare to worship, just have a couple announcements. One, next week there will be a church council meeting in the morning. So if you have a committee membership or something like that, I invite you to join. And then 2 weeks from today, after service, immediately after service, we will have a business meeting, so invite all members to stay for that. A few things to discuss. Also, I believe Mark mentioned last week, but we're going to be doing some preparation work for new carpet. And so you'll see a little bit of change going on up here in front as we prepare some physical changes before they lay the new carpet down. I would invite everyone to find in the pews a little brown book. Register your presence with us today. If you haven't already done so, please leave us a way to get in touch with you. And we invite everyone to share a prayer concern if you want through that method as well. Are there any other announcements I'm forgetting about that someone knows I need to make? If not, then let's prepare to worship together.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we are glad to be here in this sacred place to worship you. We ask that you open our hearts and minds that we might listen and hear your word. We pray that we might take those words and what we have learned out into the world, which is a sacred place. Amen.
Please.
please join me in the call to worship this morning? Come, let us praise the Lord.
We praise God with our whole heart.
God's works are great.
Open our hearts and hear us.
Come, let us worship the Lord who has saved us. Amen. And now let's sing out of the white pew book, it'd be 163, Awesome God.
I'll be reading Psalm 111, and I hope this matches our screen. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all whom delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He's gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The work of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Now let's sing hymn 204, Glorious is Thy Name. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, As we come to the time of the prayers of the people this morning, my wife says she's probably got something she's thankful for this morning. She told me yesterday when she found out that I was going to do this, "Well, I'm glad you won your game yesterday," as if my prayer would be any different if we hadn't. But anyway, so go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for the beautiful weather we've had recently. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship you in the way we choose and live in a place where we can worship the way we choose. Lord, just ask that you be with each and every one of us. Remember those people that have been brought before you today. Give them whatever it is they need at this time. Be with each and every one of us as we travel through our days and weeks. Help us to do the right things and bring someone a little closer to you. Just ask that you be with all the people that are sick. Help them whatever way that they need. Be with those people that are grieving. Be with those people that are lonely. Be with those people that are homeless, hungry, less fortunate than us. Just ask it. Give us some way to assist someone who's in need this week and help make their world a little better and brighter place as well. Just be with each and every one of us as we go out this week. And Lord, always, just thank you for all the many, many blessings that you give us each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now we're going to sing out of the pew book again. 164, Be the Summons. We're going to sing verse 1, 2, and 5. Thank you. You may be seated.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Wendy Bruner. I'm the pastor at Peace United Church of Christ. We're just a few blocks down the road up Lockwood towards Elm. And I am so thankful for Reverend Carter's invitation to come and speak with you this morning. He had the tougher job. He had to preach two sermons and lead learning time. So I feel like I maybe should dance or something for you. I don't know, but I'm going to preach a sermon, and I'm going to open with words I use every Sunday morning as we begin to listen for what God might be saying to us. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. She came for help, this woman, this Canaanite woman, not for herself, but for her child. She asked Jesus to have mercy, to have compassion. And this is where we meet the text today. It's an uncomfortable text. It takes us to a place most of us, I expect, would rather not travel. And it begins long before we read these words in Matthew's gospel. So let's go back to where it starts. When the Israelites raced out of Egypt from the oppressive rule of Pharaoh, God promised them a land filled with milk and honey. And that land was called Canaan. It was the land of Canaan into which the Israelites wandered and took over. People lived there in Canaan. They lived there minding their own business. They lived there before the Israelites came calling. But after all, it was God who told the Israelites to move on to the land, into the land of Canaan, the land filled with milk and honey. And it was the God of the Israelites who promised to get rid of the Canaanites. Let me read you some words the Israelites received from God. God said, "Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. I will hand over to you the inhabitants of the land, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not live in your land, or they will make you sin against me. For if you worship their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." Now, I'm just going to make an assumption here, but I suspect the people who were living in Canaan at the time of this promise, the promise of the Israelite God, I suspect they would have disagreed with the Israelites' interpretation of God's plan and would not have felt overly cordial towards those Israelites and their God. Call me crazy, but I'm just going to say it. They had done nothing to deserve the invasion. They were just living their lives and taking care of their families. So we have a history of animosity here, a history of one nation moving into a country and taking the land of another nation, a history that stands between Jesus and the woman who we find this morning pleading for her child. It was a courageous woman then, a courageous Canaanite woman then, who sought help from Jesus. Jesus did not answer at first. The disciples urged him to send her away. It appeared that the woman from Canaan was shouting at them, wouldn't let them be. I suppose they were annoyed. Finally, Jesus spoke. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, Jesus understood his role was to minister to his people alone, not the Canaanites. But she persisted, this woman, so unimportant that she did not have a name in the story. She persisted. She knelt down in front of Jesus, blocked his way, and pleaded, "Lord, help me." Now I want you to picture in your mind this woman who shouted down the disciples. She was desperate for the healing of her child. She knelt herself down in the path of Jesus so he could not get by her and pleaded for help. Can you imagine that scene? And Jesus answered. Here's what he said. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Let me put this into words that we might understand a bit better. I'm going to paraphrase here. "I'm here for my people. It wouldn't be right for me to take the time and energy to help you, a lowly woman, and from a lowly Canaanite, when I could be helping one of my own." Not an ounce of compassion from a person who teaches compassion. And, I might add, he was walking through her land, her region, her community. It seems a little like history repeating itself, doesn't it? Now, I want to stop for another second and put this scene into a wider context. Just verses before the ones that have been read this morning, Jesus was speaking to a group of Pharisees and scribes and others, I assume, as Matthew talks about a crowd being there. Jesus answered a question posed by the religious leaders asking why the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. Do you recall that conversation? Jesus had a few things to say in response. He ended the answer with these words. Let me read them. Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the mouth, proceeds from the heart, and out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Let me just repeat a few of those words again so we're clear as to what Jesus said to the religious leaders. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. In other words, what we say can be the problem. Our words come from the heart, from deep inside ourselves, and they can be damaging to others. After he says this, in the very next verse, after he spoke those words, words about what comes out of the mouth that can damage and defile, he met a woman who was a Canaanite. And let's recall his words to her, words that came from his heart and out of his mouth, words that he spoke. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Or in other words, I'm here for my people. It wouldn't be right for me to take the time and energy to help you, a lowly woman, and an enemy Canaanite at that, when I could be helping one of my own. Jesus, the one who taught compassion, the one who healed people so they might be restored to their communities. This Jesus called the woman a dog. Jesus blatantly disregarded her humanity and refused to help the woman who was a Canaanite. Well, what are we supposed to do with that? It's a bit disheartening finding the guy you follow isn't perfect, that he too was susceptible to everyday prejudice, that he too likely carried around baggage, he too held notions regarding particular people, Canaanite people, deeply embedded in his being, in his heart. Without much thought, he said something that was deeply hurtful, devastating, really. Life-threatening. He said something that defiled, that damaged. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, the things that are buried so deep down inside, stuff we carry around without even realizing it until we say or do things that are hurtful or make it clear we don't understand. Like when we recall another people who have lived on this land we call the United States much longer than our ancestors and think about a dangerous pipeline that runs through the little bit of land that is left for them, land that is sacred to them. Or think about other lands we have made our way to with our military strength because we think we can fix things or that we know better. Or when we contemplate just what it means to shout America first or let's make America great again, and with our words defile and demean whole countries, countries filled with people who are just trying to hold their families together. Or when we consider the many women whose stories have been disregarded or not heard at all as they cry out for help against abuse, I wonder if this story of Jesus and the woman from Canaan hits us a little closer to home than we might feel comfortable with. I wonder what ideas or understandings of other people are so deeply embedded within us we are not aware they are there until words slip out or we do something that steps on another person or misrepresents someone or reinforces a stereotype that is disrespectful and harmful or maybe even disregards a person's humanity altogether by objectifying them using phrases like the homeless, or the poor, or the weak, or the downtrodden. You see, we've lost their humanity, haven't we? They are an object, not a person anymore. I wonder if we consider that our words or actions, not said or done with malicious intent, make us complicit with an age-old system that works only when someone is up here and someone is down there. And I wonder if we are willing to dig deep and unearth those opinions, those understandings, those embedded viewpoints, implicit biases, identify, analyze, and take responsibility for them, and then deal with them. It is, it seems, what Jesus did. For the narrative has not run its course. The woman persisted still, even after Jesus' words. When Jesus responded with his canine comment, the Canaanite woman did not give up. "Yes, Lord," she said. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Remember, it's her daughter that she's fighting for, her daughter. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She'll do anything to save her daughter. I don't know what went through Jesus' mind at this point in the story. Perhaps he realized his words were hurtful and demeaning, that the woman was correct, and that in fact she was not a dog at all, worthy only of crumbs, but a human being who was hurting and desperate for her child. Perhaps it clicked that he had spoken from a place of prejudice. I don't know. But his answer changed. Just like that. For he said, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's child was healed instantly. Compassion again. Healing and restoring community again. The Jesus we want to follow, evident again. This text is not easy. It does not portray the person we aspire to follow in a very good light. Except perhaps it makes him more real, more human, and makes it less likely that we will objectify him, you see, makes it seem possible that we can indeed follow him and be like him. It tells us that even if we make mistakes, even if the ugly side comes out from time to time, and it will, and it does, even then, we can change things. We can dig deep, disregard stereotypes, and recognize another's humanity, and find compassion for everyone we meet. Jesus did. This story gives us hope that we can change the narrative. This story is about healing, but it's about more than that. It's a story of dealing with ideas so deeply embedded we don't realize they are there. It's a story of recognizing humanity. It's a story about how we too might participate in changing a narrative that leaves some people out. It's a story of hope and possibility. It's a story that is playing out right now in our time, in our place. It's our story. How shall we write it? Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. This is our story. How shall we write it? How shall we live it? Amen. Now, I think, am I supposed to do the benediction now? Yeah, okay. We do things a little differently. I just want to make sure I don't mess things up. If you would stand with me for the benediction. As we leave this most sacred place and go into the world, a sacred space, let us remember Jesus went before us. We might think about following him, loving like he loved, having compassion as he did, admitting mistakes, and going on. Go in peace.